Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine, Rob Brenton producing this thing. You are listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll be joined in studio by Jay Binkley to take a look at the AFC Championship game and the Chiefs win over the Buffalo Bills. We'll also take a look ahead to the Super Bowl as Kansas City prepares to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How you guys doing today?
I'm all right. I got a little bit of a stomach ache, and whenever Binkley's around, he smells of chewing tobacco and Red Bull, so it's certainly not going to help.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined in studio by one Jay Binkley. Anytime you start an idea with, I saw this on Twitter, we can lead the show with said idea. That only happens about five times a year. You got an idea from the good old Twitter machine.
Yeah, I know that it doesn't happen very often. I didn't even write down which one. I gave you three of them. Which one is it?
The one about Travis Kelce's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's what I want to talk about. So, Kelce's girlfriend said that it feels like you're on this football team. Her exact quote was, "Does anyone else feel like they're on this roster?" And it made me think.
To be fair, she's more on the roster than you and I are on the roster. Her boyfriend plays on the team.
Yeah.
So something tells me her closeness to Travis Kelce is much different than Bob and Olathe's closeness. So like, hey, does anybody else? She rode on one of the buses at the parade. I understand why she feels like she's on the team.
Fair enough. But do you not? Do you not kind of understand what she's saying, that you kind of feel like you're on this ride with them literally and figuratively? I'm not saying you necessarily feel like you're taking snaps or you're blocking or you're the pulling guard or anything like that, but I feel like the connection with this football team, we always used to talk about how the 14 and 15 Royals kind of felt like the city and the time and the town, everything came together. I would say it's even more so with this team. Can you imagine being the 12, nobody listening right now can't imagine this, being like the 12-year-old Chiefs fan where all you know is 11 wins, 12 wins, Andy Reid going to the playoffs the last couple of years, going to and winning a Super Bowl. Most people listening right now have gone through the ups and the downs of being a Chiefs fan. Whether you're my 93-year-old grandpa, whether you're my pops or older brother, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a kid, man, right now in Kansas City, life is good.
Maybe I'm wrong in thinking this, and I don't want you to take this as being a Buzz Killington.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these ideas, I think we come off as unique ideas, and they're just product of cheering for a good team. Like, I remember we said this a lot with the Royals. Man, it feels like we're on the team. Oh, and this team, they're so together. They've got such great chemistry. Nobody ever talks about the chemistry on a bad team.
Rob, if KU basketball would have, if they would have had a tournament last year, you're a KU basketball fan, I'm a KU basketball fan, if they would have ended up winning the NCAA tournament last year, it would have felt dirty, right? Like, you wouldn't have felt like, it definitely wouldn't be the same feeling like it was back in the day when Chalmers hit the shot, or like it was when the Royals won the World Series a few years back.
You were also in college, though, whenever Chalmers thing happened. Now you're almost 40.
All
I understand why your closeness to Udoka as a
championships
being
18 are not the same.
Years older is a very different
you
thing.
You don't think that there's like a connection? When I had on Pat yesterday, I asked him about his connection with the city and all that. You think it's the same thing? You think every time when there's a championship team, it feels like this with the town? Because I guarantee you it does not.
I think it feels a lot different with the Royals for this very simple reason. I think the Royals' closeness was a lot different than the Chiefs' closeness. Like, I felt like in 2014, and maybe I'm the only one that felt this way, I felt like you could touch Eric Hosmer. I don't really feel like you can do that with Patrick Mahomes. Now, I think Patrick Mahomes' stardom is leap years and giant years ahead of where Eric Hosmer was, but
if you were out and about in the city, you knew exactly where Hosmer was going to be hanging out. You knew where Salvi was going to be hanging out. Like, you would see Jerod Dyson out and about. I don't really feel that way about this team, but I don't really think you need to feel that way about this team. I think the togetherness that you're talking about stems from the fact of you've been cheering for this team a long time, and now the fruits of your labor have finally come to harvest. You've been a Chiefs fan since 1990. You've been talking to me about Dave Craig and Rich Gannon and Bono and all those kind of guys.
You like, better mention Steve DeBerg.
You've endured some really bad football for most of your life.
I never thought when the going got good that it would get this good, and I think that it's a little bit different. I think it's largely because of Patrick Mahomes, because of Andy Reid at the end.
It's all because of Patrick Mahomes.
It's also because it's a run. Like, there have been a lot of championships that are just one and done, right? Think about the history of sports. Think about the last 15, 20 years. What the Royals did, they put together where they were okay, then they were good, and then they were great for a couple of years. That's a nice little run, especially compared for what we got used to. What the Chiefs are doing right now, when you're able to put something together where it's not just a flash in the pan, this isn't KU football winning the Orange Bowl back in 2008. This is here to stay, and I think a lot of people realize that we're at the very beginning of this. So I disagree with what you're saying. I don't think that all teams that win championships have the same bond with their town and their team the same way that we do with this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very difficult for us to say because I've only really lived in one place. But I guess I contend that what the Chiefs are doing is really cool. Like, I'm not here putting down what the Chiefs are doing in any way. But I imagine if you're a Cardinals fan and when they won the Super Bowl, you felt the exact same way that Kansas City feels, or when the Cardinals won, or when the Rams won. I imagine if you're in Boston and with the Patriots, I imagine it's that same kind of feeling. Like, that connection you're talking about is because of winning. When's the time you felt most connected to KU football? I imagine it was when they were good. You don't probably feel that connected to them right now because they stink. You ain't watching them. Ain't nobody watching them. Nobody's talking about them. There's no buzz around the team. I just think that connection comes from the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. Who's not going to be connected to that?
No, but you can't get invested in something that you know is going to be gone quickly. Like, for an example,
I got super invested in that Royals run. I know it wasn't going to last more than about 18 months.
Yeah, but you got invested in it when you could tell that it was on the come up. You didn't get invested in it in 2014 when they beat the A's and all of a sudden we looked up and went, oh my gosh, they're in the World Series. That thing was building a little bit. They didn't completely come out of nowhere. So I feel like, especially we're talking about the same fan base here. Like, the people that are listening right now are me. You know, they grew up in Kansas City by and large. They're Royals fans. They're Chiefs fans. It's not like the going was all that good throughout the 1990s and early 2000s. Let's not get it twisted. What we've had here for, if you just combine our professional sports team, sorry, Sporting Kansas City, the Chiefs and the Royals for the sake of this conversation, 14 World Series, 15 World Series and a parade, 16, you know, the football team was good. The baseball team was good. 17, the going got pretty good with the football team. Baseball team started to suck. And then Patrick Mahomes got here and all of a sudden, I mean, we're on a run here in this town. Like, I don't think anybody, no matter how old you are, if you've lived here your entire life, is experienced.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about Sean McDermott as he had his end of the season meeting today with the media, and he just continues to make me incredibly mad. I have a Patrick Mahomes stat for you. I know how much you love Patrick Mahomes stat, and this might actually be the craziest one I've ever heard. Like, I am a secure of Patrick Mahomes statistics. You guys like that on the show. So this is from Football Outsiders. The Chiefs record with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback whenever they score first is 23-5. That is good for an 821 winning percentage. It makes a lot of sense. You jump out early. You get off to a good start. If you allow a team, an offense like Kansas City, to get off to a good start, you're probably going to lose the football game. Their record when the other team scores first is better than when they score first. They are 21-4 when the other team scores first. That's good for an 84% win percentage.
Goodness.
To give you a comparison of what the average team does when they don't score first, it's 39%. The Chiefs are 50% higher than the league average of when the opposition scores first. It goes to when the Bills got down 9-0 and how this team has just shown us an ability to come from behind game after game after game. Man, the time, situation, and score just doesn't really seem to matter. It matters for every other team in the NFL. Something as simple as being down 3-0, you have a 40% chance based on the law of averages of you winning that game. In Kansas City, it's at 84%. I don't know if there is a crazier Chiefs statistic and one that embodies Patrick Mahomes and his ability to come from behind better than that.
You want to spot him? Should we just spot him and go out there down 6-0 or 3-0 or 10-0? Because I feel like, I'm not saying the Chiefs need that. I'd like to see you pull up the number of what the Chiefs are when they score first, because something tells me it's probably even better.
I just had that stat. It was It was 23-5.
So 23-5.
23-5 when they score first, 21-4 when they don't score
first.
That's
wild. So, yeah, it's about the same, although given the choice, I would rather them, you know, not get behind early on. It feels like this Tampa team is a little bit different because it's hard to pinpoint where their strength is, if it's on offense or defense. Like, you could argue of all the teams that the Chiefs have played this year that this is one of those teams that can beat you in a bunch of different ways.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll be joined by Jay Binkley. He'll join us in studio. Coming up in just a little bit, Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott explains why they kicked the field goal at the end of the first half. That's next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2-6.
Back on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined in studio by one Jay Binkley. We'll talk a little Chiefs and Bills. We'll talk a little Chiefs and Bucks. We'll also get his thought on the Houston situation and Aaron Rodgers, who appears to be very unhappy about his current situation. So I want to play this audio for you guys because yesterday I was very, very upset at Sean McDermott. Now, I'm obviously very happy that Kansas City won. They were the better team. They deserved to win. But I just don't like bad football. I don't like loser football. And I felt like Buffalo played loser football multiple times throughout the course of the game. So Sean McDermott had the opportunity to kind of woo-saw a little bit. He had a time to go home and think about everything and then come back and give us a really good answer on why his team from fourth and goal from the 2-yard line decided to kick a 20-yard field goal. This was the answer he came up with 24 hours later.
The one before half really felt like, morale was a big piece of that. They had momentum. They were getting the ball after half as well, Vic, and felt like we needed to come away with points at that one, because even though sometimes analytics may say one thing, and whether it said it or not on our chart, I think there's a human element to the game at the end of the day, and felt like we needed to come away with points. As I look at those guys in the locker room and say, hey, we got something to show for that drive we put together at the end of the half. And I thought that was important because it was getting awfully, awfully tough.
Hold on here. Help me understand. Just help me get it. These are the big, bad Buffalo Bills, right? These are the same Buffalo Bills that heading into the postseason were dancing to MC Hammer songs. These are the same Buffalo Bills that at the end of the season was running roughshod on the league, right? They were winning games 48-19, 38-9. They were the team that chose not to rest the final week of the season and go out there and put it on the Miami Dolphins 56-26, right? They were the hottest team in the league, won 10 of their last 11. You're telling me that they needed a morale boost against Kansas City to be down 21-12 going into halftime with Kansas City getting the ball back? You're telling me the head coach of the Buffalo Bills had to look at Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and Cole Beasley, and they had to use that as the motivating factor for them to go out there and compete in the second half of the game? All I've heard from Buffalo Bills has been loser football. All I've heard from them is excuses. All I've seen is a crybaby attitude when you were losing the game, when you were trying to fight the Kansas City Chiefs at the end of the game. I can't believe a proud franchise like the Buffalo Bills is going out bad this way. I'd be mad if I was a player on the team for him to think that I wasn't mentally strong enough for us to go for it because you had to just give us something at the end of the game. That we couldn't risk being down 21-9 at halftime. We had to take the points from the 2-yard line and show some fruits of our labor. And instead of being down possibly 21-16 heading into half, we were down 21-12. We're right in this thing, guys. We're just a couple of plays away from turning this thing around.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And it feels like all these coaches are reactive and none of them are proactive. They've all got an excuse right after the game, but nobody knows what's going on at the time. Why would you kick a field goal? Why would you not go for it on fourth down? Why would you punt the football? There have just been so many of these different examples. Have we ever really seen a team do what we talk about all the time, which is be aggressive the entire time against the Kansas City Chiefs?
The Panthers did that. Yeah, and the Panthers they played 60 minutes aggressive football.
And they kept it close, and they were completely outgunned. I mean, they came into that game with a slingshot, and the Chiefs had a howitzer, and they kept it close. So I don't understand why teams wouldn't use that game plan. There have been a couple of other teams that have kept it close. But for a team that's got the talent, like San Francisco last year in the Super Bowl, talent for talent, pound for pound. I know the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. They had Jimmy Garoppolo, but pretty close. You need to change your style. If a team like the Carolina Panthers can be ultra aggressive and keep the game close, I don't understand why these other teams wouldn't do the same thing. Baltimore. Baltimore did the same thing last year. Remember, they were going for two and going for it on fourth down and all these different things. Ultimately, neither one of those teams won the game, but at least they gave themselves a chance. It wasn't Buffalo.
Can you agree with me now? This is loser football. Because what we just heard the Buffalo Bills head coach describe of why he chose to kick a field goal at the end is the definition of loser football.
I never disagree with you. I don't think anybody disagrees with you. I think that
this is mentally weak.
When you said that you would fire Matt LaFleur and Sean McDermott, I mean, I think there were some people that disagree. Those guys are pretty good coaches. After those decisions.
Did you hear what he just said?
No, though? I heard what he said.
Like, he didn't say, hey, you know what? We really evaluated the analytics and we were looking at the score. Listen to this.
The one before half really felt like, morale was a big piece of that.
Morale was a big piece. You got a top five quarterback in Josh Allen. You think's going to win a Super Bowl. You got a top five wide receiver, Cole Beasley. You got arguably the best corner in the league. These guys needed a morale boost. These guys needed a little pick me up. Buffalo didn't think they could win. I don't know how you can hear that and think and hear anything else other than Buffalo didn't think they could win.
They did early. I mean, again, early on, they were very aggressive. And then once the score changed, it's almost like, you know, how they always talk about when the bully gets hit in the mouth, he has nothing to say. I feel like there's a lot of media members, Colin Cowherd, Ross Tucker, there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of stuff to say that they've been kind of quiet. You notice they kind of changed their tune a little bit over the last couple of days. And I'm not patting myself on the back or saying the Drive knows what they're talking about, but it kind of feels like if you were one of the outsiders this year picking against the Kansas City Chiefs, you were trying to be original. You weren't trying to be right. You were trying to be original. And now that we're here in the Super Bowl, all those people all of a sudden crickets. Haven't heard a lot.
I mean, this is real life 8 Mile. The Bills were Papa Doc. It was one thing to pull it. It was one thing to push around the Denver Broncos. It's one thing to push around the New England Patriots at the end of the season or the Miami Dolphins who had a quarterback controversy. You're telling me the moment Kansas City flexed? Think about it. Now, I'm not saying that Buffalo still would have won the game. You were down 21-9 from the 2-yard line. If you score a touchdown in that scenario and you go down 21-16, game's not over. Like, you don't trust your own ability to get a touchdown from the 2-yard line with those weapons, with that quarterback who can. Josh Allen had 8 rushing touchdowns. I'd rather them call the same play we saw New England call back in week 2. Remember when Cam Newton got stopped at the yard line and then Seattle won that game because they stopped Cam Newton?
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather you do that and at least try in this.
Teams get scared when the Chiefs catch them. You notice that on the scoreboard? Like, once the Chiefs catch them, they get scared as hell.
I just heard it from Buffalo. I noticed it. This was shaky behavior. This guy don't want to battle. He shook because ain't no such thing as halfway crooks.
At the beginning of the game, though, all these teams, they come in, they talk a big game, and they think that they're actually like, I genuinely believe that when they were up 9-0, if you've got a polygraph attached to Sean McDermott, he's getting ready to make his Super Bowl plans. The same thing with, I mean, they were fitting the Super Bowl rings last year in San Francisco. Now, I know that's a little bit different because that's, you know, the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl and you're up double digits. But by and large, I think that these teams need to learn a lesson, which is, one, try to get off to an early lead. But two, even if you do, don't feel comfortable.
I've got some good news for you.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm the angel of good news for all these injury updates here. Let's start with Antonio Brown. Obviously, there was a lot of discussion about him playing in the championship game. He almost actually made the trip to Green Bay, but they made a decision. Let's just rest him. He's just not 100%. Well, the good news for him, though, this time is going to help him get ready for the Super Bowl. He is expected to dress and be ready to go for that. Then you have Sammy Watkins, and he's been dealing with a hamstring. He was supposed to be a game-time decision, and he didn't even go out there to work it out. So, again, this is another example where just a few days extra of rest are going to work to his favor and benefit the Kansas City Chiefs. And then
Sammy Watkins coming back, bruh. You thought you was going to keep playoff Sammy out of the playoffs?
Thank goodness.
You thought that we were going to have 3 playoff games and another. You can't run it back without Sammy? You think you can go back-to-back without Sammy Watkins? You know what I really hope happens in this game? This is what I hope happens. I hope it's a tight ball game for the first 58 minutes. And then I hope it's Mahomes gets the ball and it's tied 24-24. And in the same situation, we've seen Brady go down the field. Doesn't matter if it was Carolina or St. Louis or the Atlanta Falcons. The ball's in Patrick Mahomes' hand to go down there and slay the greatest quarterback of all time. And I hope Sammy Watkins has 4 catches for 60 yards on that drive, scores the game-winning touchdown. In the same way you want me to apologize to various people, In 2 Mondays, you got to apologize to Sammy Watkins because he went Super Bowl MVP. There's nothing in my life right now I want that for Sammy Watkins to win Super Bowl MVP. He missed the AFC title game. He knew they were going to advance. He missed the divisional round. He looked at Denzel Ward and the Cleveland Browns and said, "Phooey, why waste my time with that? I only show up for the big games, for the big checks." Sammy Watkins, 5 catches, 115 yards, 1 touchdown, game-winning touchdown. Chiefs win 31-34, or 24 to win the Super Bowl. That's what I want to happen.
Well, he still wouldn't get the MVP. It's going to take a lot to get that award out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, especially if he's the one that takes him down the field on that drive that you were just talking about. I pride myself on being spiteful. It's kind of a family tradition on the Levine side. I think you're the more spiteful one on the show than me. Like, literally, you're not a big fan of Sammy Watkins. Why all of a sudden has he become your favorite player? Because you built him up like a lot of people did. Well, during the playoffs, the Chiefs need Sammy Watkins. Well, now that we're here in the Super Bowl, and now that she's played their best game of the season, and Sammy Watkins was nowhere to be found, I assume he was at his Airbnb in Tahiti, the same one he was in earlier this year.
No, he was
playing this game.
He was on the sideline coaching Mecole Hardman up when he fumbled. That's what happened. Mecole Hardman fumbled, and then Sammy went over there and said, "Yo, you got the same advanced reptilian solar being blood in your body pumping through your veins,
you
pumping through
what you're
my
veins.
Now. So you need to go out there and hold on to the football because that's what we do here."
Okay.
And then he went over to Byron Pringle and he tapped him on his chest and said, "You got this." And Byron Pringle made a couple of catches in the game. You think they do all this without Sammy Watkins? I'm happy he's coming back.
I did like that tap on the chest you just did. It was kind of Wolf of Wall Street, little Wolf of Wall Street ish.
Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Jay Binkley. Jay Binkley will join us in studio to talk about the Chiefs and the Bills. He'll also join us to talk about the Super Bowl and the return of Sammy Watkins. Keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. I have a question to ask you guys about the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm very curious for your answer. We'll do
yellow,
that.
Yellow end zones. Is that what you want to know?
No, yep. that is not my question at all. Coming up at 3 o'clock. I also was listening to Denver Broncos sports talk radio today, and I think you will find their conversation very entertaining. Right now, we are happy to be joined in studio by Jay Binkley. He does the post game for us right here on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Bink, is it now official that Patrick Mahomes and the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFL is more like Tiger in the field than Brady versus Manning?
You know, it's getting to that point. It's getting to that point where he is Tiger Woods. It's vintage Tiger Woods. And I've been watching that documentary, and I love it. I can't wait for the Mahomes documentary. You know, Mahomes in the field. This was the question earlier on I had on Twitter, C-Dot, earlier this year. You might remember it was like after week 4 or 5. And I think I used the Ravens at that time. I said, "Would you take the Ravens, the Chiefs, or the field to win the Super Bowl?" And it's overwhelming Chiefs and Ravens. Of course, I do the show in Kansas City. I get it. Most of the followers are from Kansas City, but other places. But yeah, they're getting to the point now where it's the Chiefs or the field. And I think that's the way the Mahomes MVP bet runs as well from here on out.
I've never really bought into the philosophy that NFL teams are afraid of other NFL teams. Like, you don't really get to that level if you're afraid of other teams. But we just played the audio on the other side. Like, hearing what Sean McDermott said about his team and how they handled, I don't know if controversial decisions is the right way of putting it, but I don't know if every team in that scenario decides to go for it. Hearing the way that he talked about his team and why he chose to kick the field goal, I don't know how you can hear that other than Buffalo was afraid of Kansas City,
they
which
were.
Is crazy just given what Buffalo had done the last 2 months of the season.
People are cowering down to the Chiefs. Mahomes is cold blood killer, and they all know it. And they all know when 15's on that sideline. He's gotten to that point. He's got to that point like Joe Montana had. He's got to that point that that John Elway had at the end of games. He's got that point that Brett Favre had and Tom Brady, that you don't give this guy time. He's cold-blooded in what he does. 25 of the last 26 games he's won. The Ravens are for sure scared of him. They've admitted so after the game that the Chiefs are their kryptonite. But the Bills are too. You're Josh Allen leaping praise on the Chiefs. They're the gold standard. Tre'Davious White, we've got to beat these guys at some point. Like the Patriots said at the top of the block. And the Chiefs drafted to beat the Patriots. They didn't draft to beat the AFC West. They drafted to beat the Patriots. Steve Spagnuolo was brought in for the Patriots. He wasn't brought in for the AFC West. He was there to stop the Patriots like he did in the Super Bowl, stopping that undefeated run. But the Chiefs drafted. They went to the Combine. They went to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, like people at now watching the talent. They did that to stop the Patriots and now it's the Chiefs.
I give the defense almost as much credit as I give the offense in the game. Like their ability to, I mean, Josh Allen threw it 48 times, didn't have 300 yards passing in the game. Stephon Diggs didn't have 100 yards. First game, they haven't had a 100-yard wide receiver since week 12. Cole Beasley, understandable, banged up, didn't have 100 yards in this. Absolutely no semblance of a running game. Like, their defense took away plans A, B, and C for Buffalo on Sunday.
No, they did. They really had no options, and that was a confident team. But as we talked about last week, C-Dot, when I was talking to you, the Bills were on a great run. And a lot of people pointed that out. The eight straight games, 34 points a game in that eight straight games. The only 17 points a game defensively they were giving out. They didn't have Matt Milano that first game. And I talked to people from Buffalo. I went on their shows. And they said, well, Matt Milano is going to cover Kelsey. And I said, and who else? Because he's going to eat his lunch. If you put the linebacker Milano on him, he will destroy him. What's he do? 13 receptions in this game. But the Chiefs fear him, and you couldn't go with what the Bills did in the regular season. It didn't matter because they've been squeaking by in the playoffs. That's what matters, the Colts game and the Ravens game to the Chiefs. What they did in that eight-game stretch had no relevance of what was going to happen in this playoff game against the Chiefs.
Relevance, I think is what you're looking for.
Relevance. There you go, Levine.
You were talking about
– You were close. I was close.
Levine is a wordsmith. I don't know if you know this, but he is.
I make up a word like every other show, let's be
honest.
He's
a lot of things. Wordsmith is far from the list of things I would call Sean Levine.
I get tongue twisted.
He's a lot of great things. Wordsmith is not –
That's not
on the Wikipedia page.
So you guys are talking about teams being scared of the Chiefs. That's not the Bucs, right? Like, Tom Brady's not scared of the Chiefs.
No, I don't think so. Tom Brady's not. The rest of the team might be. I mean, the Chiefs beat them. And right now, those defensive backs, they won't sleep for 2 weeks. Tyreek Hill ate their damn lunch. Over 200 yards in the first quarter. They could not stop Tyreek Hill.
Oh, that was that game. Oh,
the Buccaneers have had trouble stopping the vertical pass. Aaron Rodgers threw the ball well vertically against the Bucs. And I get it, Antoine Winfield didn't play in that game. He'll play in the Super Bowl. Huge difference. But they could not stop the Chiefs' forward pass. And they know the Chiefs gave them that game. They know the Chiefs left 18 points off that board. They know there's a big gap, like Grand Canyon-sized gap, between them and the Chiefs, even though the game on the scoreboard was closer. The drop by Hardman could have been a touchdown. Going for it inside the five or the field goal instead of going for it and going for the touchdowns, certain points were left off the board in that game.
Are they an offensive team or a defensive team at this point?
I think the Bucs are both. I think they're a very well-rounded team offensively and defensively. The defense is a Super Bowl caliber defense, and the offense with Tom Brady is a Super Bowl caliber offense. I think what hurt the Patriots is COVID, because I think bringing in Gronk and Brady and not having the OTAs and the mini camps and a weird – they even talked about it. Bruce Arians was even complaining about it halfway through the year when they're saying, why don't you like Tom Brady? He's like, well, we haven't had the time to get those guys in sync, and I figured once they figured it out, that was a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde team. Therese and I talked about it all year. They'd be up and down. They'd look like a Super Bowl team, and they wouldn't. You didn't know which Buccaneers team you're getting it. It's a very good team. They needed all that time in the offseason.
Does Brady himself concern you in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, because he went to that Chiefs game and he wanted to prove the doubters wrong. These guys have that element in them. They like a chip on the shoulder, just like Mahomes told you yesterday. They hear the noise. Brady heard the noise that he wasn't throwing the ball well past 20 yards. He heard that. And what did he do? It was everything down 20 yards plus against the Chiefs. That was a lot of noise before that Chiefs game, and he went out to kind of fix that what people were saying.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Jay Binkley. If you have a question, 913-576-7610. We'll ask random questions with Jay Binkley coming up momentarily. Defensively, what do you think that Tampa Bay does differently in this matchup that they didn't do the last time? Because you brought up Tyreek Hill. If their plan, once again, is to have Carlton Davis one-on-one on the outside against Tyreek Hill, Tyreek Hill's going to have at least 150 yards.
It's going to have to be safety help over the top, which means Tyreek Hill is going to automatically take two of their defenders away. It's going to open up running lanes for the Chiefs. They're going to need to run the football against the Buccaneers because it's going to be there. It's going to be open. Two guys right there on Tyreek Hill, probably another two on Travis Kelce. Then you have the spying situation on Mahomes. They're exhausting a lot of defensive effort.
You know that leaves
against
open
the Chiefs' weapons.
A lot of single coverage for Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins could eat in this game just like he did the Super Bowl when he had 98 yards receiving in that game. But the running lanes should be open against the Bucs. Their pass rush with Barrett and JPP, they can get to the quarterback. We know that. And the Chiefs can have Rimmers and probably Wiley on the outside. That's pretty attractive to them. It's going to be quick hitting throws from the Chiefs. Three-step drop by Mahomes, deliver. I mean, it's going to be a quick short pass, and you're going to see a lot more of the running game, too. With an offensive line that's kind of been beaten down with a little bit of uncertainty, you're going to see more runs and short passes out of the backfield, quick hitters from Mahomes, just to kind of settle things down. But you still will see him go deep to Tyreek Hill.
Who do you think their number one running back is heading into the Super Bowl?
And I keep saying Fournette all the time, and then he does that nice little spin move.
I was talking about the Chiefs.
Oh, the Chiefs.
I was talking about the Chiefs.
Oh, Clyde.
Because I'm just saying, in the AFC Championship game, it was not Clyde. It was Darrell Williams again.
Yeah, I expect with two more weeks of rest, Clyde got in there, get the rust off a little bit from missing the game since New Orleans. I expect to see a lot of Clyde in this game. Could be wrong. Could be Darrell Williams. But Clyde is the most talented back they have, and you're giving him two more weeks.
They're not really the team to go away from the hot hand. And Daryl's played really well. It's when like Damian
Williams last year. My Mr. January.
I think it'll be Daryl. You didn't ask me, but I think it'll be Daryl. I think that all the Chiefs need right now is exactly what you just said. A hot hand that can average 4.5 yards per carry, get in the end zone once that they trust. That's what Daryl Williams is.
But you're talking about a deficient offensive line. You kind of need a guy like Clyde. Listen, Clyde can scat better than Daryl. He can. Daryl's great at going straight
Clyde
forward.
Can have the huge game. I just don't think
what
that
I'm saying is there's going to be
game.
Deficiencies in blocking with this offensive line. A guy like Clyde with the moves of Clyde will be beneficial in this game with that offensive line. Now, if Swartz and Fisher were playing, sure, barrel out with Darrell Williams. I just think this is a game more acclimated to a guy like Clyde's skills.
No, that certainly makes a lot of sense, and I think the point you're making about having two more weeks, getting the rust off of you, guy who can do a little bit more in the open field. I mean, in the last game, now I know Clyde didn't play in the second round game, but I mean, Darrell touched the ball twice as much as Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, I think we've seen with Andy, hey, if you're the next guy up, if you got the hot hand to what Sean was saying,
they
typically
roll with
you.
How can Clyde handle hits? How's he going to handle getting hit? And they found their answer.
It's also a rookie versus a guy that I know he didn't get a bunch of carries in the playoffs last year, but he did get a couple. So I feel like it's a little bit of experience versus a guy that Clyde gives you the upside. I feel like it's kind of if somebody's going to go out there and have 140 yards and a couple of touchdowns as a running back, it's going to be Edwards-Helaire. But if there's going to be a guy that has, 70 yards like he's had or 65 the last couple of weeks and really help the football team, you can't go wrong. It's nice to have options.
It's a guy that dominated the national championship game at the highest stage. That's the college football version of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Clyde dominated. He's the only running back in the history of the SEC to have at least 50 receptions and 1,000 yards. He's also a first-rounder, and that stuff plays. And his shiftiness, I think, does play. And I think getting him acclimated, getting hit, getting some touches in that game, and then give him 2 weeks off is huge for Clyde.
Go and text your questions in for Binkley. We'll ask him here in a little bit, 913-576-7610, and random question time with Jay Binkley. It's pretty clear what Kansas City's advantages are in this game. The passing game, as we were talking about, like, I don't really think that Tampa Bay has the corners to really match up with Kansas City.
But they need the blocking to go with the vert. You know what I mean? Saying that's so big.
I was just going to ask you that, though. Would you say the biggest advantage that Tampa Bay has is their defensive line, who I thought was really impressive against Green Bay,
they were
going up against Kansas City's really banged offensive line?
You're talking about the Chiefs and the Bucks that finished 2-3 in the NFL in quarterback knockdowns, quarterback KDs. Where the Chiefs are right there with the Bucks. They proved they can get to the quarterback. Now, Spag's been manufacturing it a little bit. Legarius Sneed, 4 straight games with the sack. DeAndre Baker mixed in there, so 5 straight games. The Chiefs have had a cornerback blitz. But that defensive line of the Bucs is extremely talented. You're asking a lot of Wiley. You're asking a lot of Rimmers in this game. You would like to think, okay, give Mahomes. If Mahomes has the time, and it's going to be difficult against that pass rush to drop 5 steps, sit there, wait for Tyreek Hill to make his break. Because Tampa Bay really struggles against the vertical passing game. Hits that game. Tyreek Hill just ate them up. There was no answer for Tyreek Hill. They had zero answer, and that was the healthy secondary that phased him. And he tore him up like the likes we've never seen in the National Football League.
You're the only person I would ask this question to over the next 2 weeks. Do you look at offensive line as their number one draft need?
Absolutely.
Because I mean, now looking
that's
at
what
the
they should be doing
line.
In Mobile. We'll go down to the Senior Bowl tonight. Big night. We'll talk to people. Talk about offensive line, the Creed Humphrey, Oklahoma. I think offensive line's where you want to go. You have a fresh Lucas Niang coming back. You've got a fresh Canadian doctor coming back, for the mix. And
are you sure he's coming back? I don't say that like negatively.
Well, he wants to. I don't know. We just hold out hopes that he does because it's a great depth move. I'm not saying throw him in their starter. He's got to fight for that starting job again. Lucas Niang's going to have to fight since he opted out this year for that job. But don't forget, they still have Lucas coming back this year, and there was a big-time draft pick last year for the Chiefs, and you're getting a fresh Lucas Niang that battled some injuries at the end with TCU. Another year off will help him coming back. But certainly, if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, first round, I go offensive line.
Are you having a party for the Senior Bowl tonight?
It's not about the Senior Bowl. It's about the practices. It's a weekly thing. It's the whole every night. Every night. Sean.
Awesome.
Do you think
Ask Fesco, they call me in the mornings, and I was a little bit tired. Let's say I inebriated last night a little bit.
Okay.
Two drinks.
You're just a funny guy. Do you think Eric Fisher has played his last game with the Chiefs?
No. I think Veach works his magic, understands his role with this team, and I think that Eric Fisher does come back. This is a guy that was here before Andy Reid. I think they value that. It's kind of their organizational philosophy. You know, you've been here, we'll take care of you. Dorsey kind of had a lot of that too, because that's the Green Bay Packers system. Guys that come in, you take care of them. I think they're going to find a way to take care of Eric Fisher. They realize just as important blocking Patrick Mahomes.
Somebody's pointing out real quick on the text line that I lied, and I did. Darrell Williams, zero carries in last year's playoffs, but he did have a couple in 2018, so a little bit of postseason experience. Hey, something about the name Williams in the playoffs.
He's got a chip
nice.
On his shoulder. He was behind Leonard Fournette at LSU, behind Darius Geis, getting no respect. He's got Leonard Fournette over there. He's going to show him up in the Super Bowl, Daryl.
Fournette still got a little bit left in the tank.
There's more LSU players in this game. There's six combined between the Chiefs and the Bucs.
Fournette, you're right. Fournette like does look like a completely different player. I mean,
Fournette, he's looking fresh.
Fournette's a good running back. He just shouldn't have been selected fourth overall.
No, he's looking good. But, you know, Daryl was behind Leonard Fournette. He wants to show him something.
Bing, do you know what time it is?
It is not Levine's List time. It is time for random questions.
If you got a question for Jay Binkley, 913-576-7610. Binkley, would you consider trading out of the first round to give Veach more picks?
No, I don't think I would. And we'll have to see what they lose this year with the comp picks that the Chiefs are getting. But I would sit right there where they're at because the quality offensive lineman will still be there at 32. I was almost leaning, maybe tied in at that position because I do think that's a position going forward for the Chiefs. And you get a real quality one when you're going to be sitting there at 31 or 32. But I don't trade down because I want a quality offensive lineman.
Text line 913-576-7610. If you have a question to ask Jay Binkley, you have 5 minutes to ask Binkley whatever you would like. Binkley, what's your favorite burgers, beer, or babes?
Goodness. It's beer. Because beer is always there for you. It's like a happy dog. When you walk in, it wags its little tail, looks at you, and gives you fresh, delicious beer. It's just always there for you. It's like a personal friend. Beer is never going to leave you. It's going to be loyal. We all look for loyalty in our lives. Beer will never leave you.
I like bowls when it comes to beer. I like bowls. Like, you know, ramen bowls. I like ramen bowls.
Babes, they come and go. Beer doesn't.
But to be fair, there's other kind of alcohol. So let's say that you could never drink beer again. You could become a whiskey guy or a tequila guy. There ain't really no substitute for the loving of a good woman. You know what I mean?
Whiskey's fine. But you know what, though? C-Dot, though, eventually, you never know, man. Look at my life. It has gotten an absolute tailspin the last 3 years because of a woman. It can happen, bro. It can happen. Beer will never leave me. It never has. It's never taken me to court for custody. That's what women do. Beer doesn't do that.
I'm with you, brother.
I feel like he needs to lay down on the couch right now.
I'm with you, brother. 913-576-7610. What wide receiver would you like to see the Chiefs go after in free agency?
Oh, man. So many choices. I don't necessarily know they need to be super proactive in that.
That's
although,
what I'm saying.
I do like some Juju. And I know people don't like Juju because of the TikToks and everything else. But he kind of fills that Sammy Watkins role.
Juju,
tough guy, blocker, good hands, can play inside and outside. You don't like Juju?
I think he'd be perfect in the system.
Juju would be great in the system. Forget about the TikToks. He doesn't need him in Kansas City.
Spend that money on an offensive lineman. Protect Patrick Mahomes and give Byron Pringle and McCole Hardman and all those guys
him
a
weapons.
Shot.
You gotta keep giving him weapons. You gotta. That's your number one thing. Your number one asset is going forward with Patrick Mahomes. You need weapons.
Bank, this text comes in from me. Can you put your phone on silent, please? It's really distracting me right now. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I should have done that anyway. It's the sound of a beer can.
Bink,
yesterday was the beer can appreciation day. Now one of you wished me happy beer can appreciation day.
I don't try to come in here and control you. I want you to be free.
Yeah. Oh, fine. Turn your ring on.
No, it's off now. And I should have had it.
Call your mom. What do I care? Do whatever
it
says
I like beer. Bink, I just want you to come in here and be free, man. Be you. What is your opinion on eating cold spaghetti?
I'm fine with it. You throw a little spray butter on it. And let it roll.
Spray butter.
Yeah, try to spray butter on some noodles sometime. Like that, just butter.
But still heat them up.
Well, you don't have to, though. It's still delicious.
Do your ramen noodles cold?
No, of course not. What kind of question is that?
I don't know.
Somebody but you can eat spaghetti cold.
You can eat pizza cold. You can eat Chinese cold.
You can eat spaghetti cold, too.
You cannot eat spaghetti. I mean, you can. Do you eat hot dogs cold? You do, don't you?
No, I have.
Bro, you nasty.
But you know Pete Sweeney?
Bro, you nasty.
You know Pete Sweeney's got this new contraption? You could put six hot dogs and buns It's like a toaster, like
grill.
No, seriously, it's so cool. And you put it down.
It's a grill.
Yeah, no, it's not a grill. It's a hot dog thing.
Hold on,
hot
so you're telling maker. Me there's this new contraption yes. that can heat up hot dogs think and buns? Yeah,
six dogs.
Hold on, do you put
the
on like
buns,
a grate? Is there
it's
fire?
Like a little toaster thing. And brilliance. I even sent him a picture of this pretzel bun, hot dog buns he needed. But he's got this
it's
machine.
It's an
beautiful.
Infomercial thing. I know what he's speaking
so,
of.
Yes, and he bought one. Pete's
got
one.
Did he buy a slap chop too?
Yeah, what Pete gets his stuff. Pete's ahead of the curve on things sometimes.
A lot of people want to know if you're upset that Fesco calls you so early in the morning.
No, I like that. I don't mind it. I didn't know who they were. I was like, new phone, who's this? And they go, you're on the air. He goes, this Kling. I said, what's up, Kling? He wants to talk tight ends.
Is there a name for the segment?
They called me yesterday at 6:15 in the morning to talk. How many times I'm watching the AFC Championship over and over. But they call me randomly about just questions. They have questions and I have answers.
If they have to name the segment, it should be called Get Binkley Out of Bed.
No, I was pretty, didn't know who it was. I was kind of out of it.
How many people call you at, what time is it, 6:30
in
the morning?
Just Fesco.
Okay.
A lot of people want to know if you have a book recommendation.
I got a couple.
When was the last time you read a book?
You know what? These are the books I read.
We're assuming
Nick
you read.
Nick Saban's books. The Bill Walsh, Building a Champion. Great book if you want to see like what Andy Reid's done with the Chiefs.
When was the last time you read a book that wasn't about football?
To Kill a Mockingbird, 7th grade.
The ones I had to. They make you read them because you have a report at the end. I read some history books from time to time.
Somebody
was
has
a history minor, you know?
Somebody has a one gotta go. Fried food, bacon, energy drinks, or beer.
Oh, God. Would you do that one more time?
Fried foods. Bacon.
No, not bacon.
Energy drinks.
Not energy drinks.
Or beer.
No. Fried food's got to go.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I can't do those other things. I couldn't have those out of my life. Fried foods, I mean, it'd be tough. I mean, it's a real tough decision.
Dude, you need that like oxygen.
You're right. You do.
Well, not
but I always
me,
start
you.
Every show with the bang. It's got a nice little pun to it. Levine likes puns, but it's legitimate. It's what it's called. It's called bang.
I do like puns.
Well, Bink, we have...
Chilling like Corey Dillon on penicillin.
We've reached the end of random question time with Jay Binkley.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's fun.
We should just do this more often. It's one of my favorite segments that we do each and every week.
We should.
We have fun with it.
Random question time is now over. It is now time for
Levine's List.
So, the Chiefs are heading back down to sunny Florida. Did I hear right that the teams aren't going early? They're
that's
not going
correct.
Like a week early. They're just going 48 hours ahead of time.
Go ahead and tell them, Bink. I know you know.
The Chiefs are going 24 hours ahead of time.
Oh, is that right? Well, probably a good decision.
The other team as well, the Bucks are already there, so it didn't matter. But the Bills were going to go 2 days beforehand because the Bills already made preparations, right? Chiefs are going the day before the business trip. Stay one night, go home with the World Championship, be done.
I guess business the Bucks trip. Are already there, huh? They're from Tampa Bay. So there have been a lot of Florida football players over the years that I've liked, particularly players that played their college football in Florida. Here are my top 10 favorites. Number 10, Jeremy Shockey. Big name every NFL team he played for.
No, he said Bink. I mean, I could do it. I just want to know if you can do it.
Giants. Where did he end up at the end?
Saints, too.
Yeah.
Saints. Played for New Orleans. New Orleans Saints.
We're forgetting somebody.
Didn't he moonlight with the Panthers?
I was going to say the same thing. Was it Carolina?
Yeah, I think
he played
with Carolina.
Are we making that up? Are we thinking of Greg
Travis
Olsen?
Kelce on draft night compared himself to Jeremy Shockey.
He actually shortchanged himself.
That's who he compared himself to because I asked him the question. I said, who do you compare yourself to?
He should have compared himself to Gronk.
And he goes, Shockey.
Gronk might actually have been too low
fun.
Of an expectation.
We're going to have some fun.
He should have just said, I'm going to be the greatest.
Number 9, Dante Culpepper from?
UCF.
Attaboy. Number 8, Ed Reed. Number 7, Sean Taylor. Those guys were in the secondary at the same time, right? In they Miami were. At the U? My goodness. Talk about shutdown.
That U team was loaded.
Rob, what secondary was better, that one or Aqib Talib and Chris Harris?
No, the U. The U was better.
Well, you can say how you really feel. Number 6.
They also had Antrell Roll, who was
the
first round.
That team was loaded.
No love for Daryl Stuckey? Number 6,
Chase Daniel threw for 400 yards against that team. Just want to point it out.
Shut your mouth. Number 6, Peter Warwick. I know one of your favorites.
I love Peter Warwick.
C-Dub loves him some P-Dub.
Peter Warwick would have won the Heisman if he hadn't stole those clothes from Dillard's.
Speaking of...
He didn't steal them. He just got a discount.
I mean, he stole them.
People that may or may not have done illegal things
likeness.
Over the
he
years.
This is
likeness. Let him take what he wants.
They looked past it when Jameis stole crab legs. Why didn't they look past it for Peter Ward?
Peter just got a little. We all have friends that work at different department stores. Ready to get a discount.
Jameis had the "I'm about to steal these" energy, though. Like, he's just standing there in the middle looking around, just holding the food. Like, bro, you got to be a little bit more incognito than that. What are you doing?
Jameis could have made this list, but I chose to go with another questionable character that played his college football in Florida. That would be Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp! Back-to-back Levine's list. How about that? Number four, Edgerrin James. If for nothing else, those gold fronts. Those were sick.
Hall of Famer, Edgerrin James.
You sure?
He just got in last year.
Oh, that boy. Congratulations,
and
Edge.
The Colts got rid of him right before they won the Super Bowl.
Number three, Charlie Ward, who went on to play professionally for
the Knicks.
Attaboy. Number two, Clinton Portis. Can either one of you guys give me one of Clinton Portis's nicknames?
That's from that day he boat raced the Chiefs by himself.
CP.
No. Appreciate you playing the game,
though. The dancing machine.
Coach Janky Spanky? You guys don't remember this?
No one's ever called that man Janky Spanky.
Absolutely.
Never heard that ever.
Southeast Jerome?
Never heard either one of those nicknames.
Sheriff's gonna get you?
Hey, there's Southeast Jerome.
Who'd you call him, Slappy?
I'm still hung off on Stanky Panky.
Stanky Panky. 913-576-76 and Jay Southland Toe Service text line. Has anybody else heard of him referred to Coach Janky Spanky?
No. That sounds like, I don't even want to make
Southeast
a KU
Jerome
joke.
I kind of want to get him on the show just to call him.
I was about
Sheriff,
to make a KU joke, but I don't want the text line after me.
Those are all actual nicknames for one Clinton Portis. And coming in at number one, my favorite college football player from Florida to watch, Timothy Tebow. And that is today's Levine's List, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. 7th Street Casino.
There's no way Tebow's your favorite college football
player. Yeah, the jump
player.
Pass? I love watching Tim Tebow. I like watching Tim Tebow play when, what was his name? Chris Leak. Chris Leak. Even when he was
Should
a quarterback.
Should have been one.
All right, well, it's not Binkley's list. Yeah,
Chris Leak. Chris Leak was in the Arena Football League.
Did you ask about
one of
Snoop
his games?
I love Snoop Menace.
Honorable mention. Definitely. When was he drafted? Whatever it was too high.
Third round?
Was he?
Snoop Menace was a third round pick. I'm pretty confident of that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, oops. Well, that didn't work out well.
I just can't imagine.
What's the name of the Jonathan Baldwin? Was he doing drafted that high?
You were a Tebow guy?
Big Tebow guy in college? Yeah, absolutely. Who didn't like Tim Tebow in college?
I'm just surprised that was your number one.
Yeah, I love watching Tim Tebow play in college. I really
do. Do you go back and like watch his YouTube highlights?
Oh, no, I wasn't that big of a Tim Tebow fan.
The baseball Tebow?
No, I've gone back and listened to a couple of his speeches, though. God bless. For sure. A couple of times.
Binkley, we love you coming on the show, man. Thank you.
Just stay if you want.
Thanks, guys.
Hell?
I enjoyed it.
All right, well, you got to go.
Coming up at the top of the hour, I have a question to ask you guys about Byron Pringle. Let's say that Byron Pringle went to UMass. Would you guys feel the same way about Byron Pringle that you do now? Because I don't think so. We'll talk about it next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.